People say, well, this is just an awful day. The reason that Paul could look at these things and call them momentary light affliction is because he had trained his heart not to look at the magnitude of these things, but to look at the magnitude of what heaven is. That's something that he learned. That's something that he developed. That's something that he thought about over and over and over again. Ultimately, the way that we get through these tough days and we learn to be content through these things is just nothing more than experience. In Hebrews, the 5th chapter, when Paul is commenting on the great high priest, he talks about the reason that Jesus came. In Hebrews chapter 5, he makes this little side point about Jesus that I think is worth noting. In Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 7, listen to what he has to say. Talking about Jesus, the perfect high priest, as your subtitle may say. It says, in the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one who was able to save from death, and he was heard because of his piety. And although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. There's a lot in those verses. We don't have near the time. That would be where the 3-hour sermon would come into play. We don't have near the time to dive into all the nuances of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. But in that description of the perfect high priest, notice what he says there couched within verse 8. He talks about how Jesus, through all the things that he suffered, learned obedience. Now here's the million-dollar question. Would anybody dare to say, as the Hebrew writer just did, would anybody dare to say that Jesus needed to learn anything? Would anybody dare to make such a bold, borderline blasphemous statement to say that Jesus needed to understand anything? Jesus was the one who created the world with the addition, or with this is where we get into the Trinity, the help of his Father and the Son, the Trinity creating the world, as Genesis 1 talks about. This is the one who was there at the beginning. This is the one who is the bread of life. This is the one who spoke the word, the gospel, the salvation. And yet Hebrews chapter 5 verse 8 says that he learned obedience. How did he learn that? Through the things which he suffered. The reason he was able to understand what obedience was not because he didn't understand the nebulous concept of what obedience was. He learned it by firsthand experience. You are content, ladies and gentlemen, when you go through things, you experience the trials, and then you come out on the other side. Through first-hand experience, learning things intimately. And after you go through that flat tire, after you go through that bad day, and you kick and you scream and you think to yourself, this is the worst day ever, and then the next morning, Lord willing, and that sun rises, and you learn that you could have gone through it all along. I have a real habit and a real hard time with traffic. I can't stand the fact that everybody on the road beside me is the worst driver that's ever existed on the face of the earth. And not even kidding for half a second, when somebody cuts me off in traffic like they did last Tuesday when I was driving to Taco Bell, they cut me straight off in traffic and I was really upset. And I got mad and I even said something about it to the Taco Bell lady. And then they went on their way and I had my burrito and I was sitting there thinking 20 minutes after the fact, I was just really, 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 really upset about something that doesn't matter. And knowing that then will help me in the future. To know that getting mad and kicking and screaming and then veering up beside them and staring them down as they pull into Brahms, that doesn't do anything. That's the experience that we're talking about. And I'm not saying Jesus at any point in time began to be upset and start to kick and scream, but the reason that he can say in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered was not because he did not understand the nebulous concept of obedience, but because he went through it firsthand. That's what makes him our perfect high priest. And that's part of what Hebrews chapter 5 talks about. Continuing on in Philippians chapter 4, he mentions that he has learned these things through every situation. The dichotomy that he talks about there is both good and bad. He mentions it right after that. When he says, I learned how to be abased, I learned how to abound, in every different type of situation, whether good or bad, I've learned how to put up with these things, whether good or whether bad. And all of us know what the struggle is. And someone would argue, well, it's very easy to be content when you've got $20 billion in the bank. It's very easy to be content when you have all your bills paid through the end of the month. It's very easy to be content when you're not dealing with the health problems I am. It's very easy to be content. I would argue that it's not. Talk to these people who are millionaires, who are billionaires. These people are very unhappy with their lives. Mark Cuban is a big figure down in Dallas, and Mark Cuban was quoted in a recent interview as saying the only thing that he fears about being worth $4 billion is the fact that it all has to end at some point. And so the thing that he's worried about is not things of an eternal nature. He's worried about the fact and stresses about the fact, number one, that it all has to end. He's also worried about the fact that his kids are probably going to grow up to be brats. That's what he himself said. He's worried about all these different things. You grow up in this house, $4 billion. Those are the things that he's concerned with. Those are the things that he's discontent with. All of us have things, whether good or bad, that we think to ourselves, I would love to have it just a little bit. If you're sitting here this morning, you're going through untold health problems. You've got stage 4 liver cancer. Your car doesn't run. You've just lost your entire family in a hurricane. And you're sitting here this morning, it'd be very easy for you to look at somebody who's not going through that and say to yourself, I would give anything to be that person. At the same time, it's very easy for somebody who has untold pleasures to look across the room and think, they don't have near the concerns that I have. I would give anything to have the simple life. Both good and bad, what Paul says here in this passage is, I've learned to be abased, I've learned to be content in any different type of circumstance. He mentions it right after in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, that fantastic verse where he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's not talking about the fact that he can bench press 4,000 pounds. That's talking about the fact that whether he's in good times or in bad, he knows how to exist in all. You know what you're supposed to do to be content if times are bad? Put everything to the side and say, no matter what, I will follow God. You know what you're supposed to do when times are good? Put everything to the side and say, no matter what, I will follow God. There's a story about a fisherman who was sitting by the sea just lazily taking the day off. About 10:30 in the morning, he had caught all his fish that he needed for the day. And this big businessman, this big commercial fisherman came by and said, well, why are you sitting here? Why are you just wasting the day? And this fisherman said, well, I've caught all the fish I need for today, so I'm just going to sit here and relax for a little bit. And the fisherman, the big commercial fisherman said, well, why are you doing that? Why don't you get a whole bunch of boats and go out and catch more fish? And the fisherman said, well, what would I do then? Well, he said, well, then you'd take all that money, you'd buy nets, then you'd license out boats, and you'd have more fish. And he said, well, what would I do then? And he said, then you can sell this fantastic fishing business for millions of dollars. And he said, well, what will I do then? He said, well, then you can sit on the beach and lazily look out at the day